All my hope in God is founded. We just sang these words. All my hope in God is founded. He doth still my trust renew. Me through change and chance he guideth, only good and only true. We'll use that kind of as an anchor for the next few moments. You know, this passage from the gospel, the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus. Well, isn't that the case? Most of the time we decide we want to talk about politics or religion. It's usually to see what somebody's going to say. It's why they say in polite conversation we never talk about those things. Although if you grew up in my family, those were the only two things we talked about. And it was, in fact, a time to try to entrap your siblings or whatever and argue your case. And I suspect at the end, I didn't look up the Greek on this, but it says when they heard this, they were amazed. Amazed is one word I think we could use there, but I suspect they're mad as hornets. They're amazed at how he was able to navigate their questions in trying to entrap him, but I'm sure it was not satisfactory. And it says they went away, and they didn't go away amazed in honor. They went away amazed, plotting to kill him, because they're going to do it at some point. So politics and religion, difficult. The sad duty of politics is to establish justice in a sinful world. I was recently reminded of this quotation by American theologian Reinhold Niebuhr. I'll say it again. The sad duty of politics is to establish justice in a sinful world. So a few days ago, I was privileged to attend the installation of the new vice chancellor at Swanee, my alma mater. And as part of the festivities that morning, they had a panel conversation that included Bishop Phoebe Rofe, who is the Bishop of West Tennessee, historian John Meacham, and the new vice chancellor, Rob Perigin. The topic for their conversation was thinking anew the interplay of the liberal arts, the church, and civil society. And of course, there was attention given to the current global crisis in the Middle East. They also talked about the political climate here in the United States. The various discussions were framed within kind of historical, political, and religious context, which makes sense given the three panelists who were there. And it really did end up becoming an interplay of church and politics. These things that we are hearing about in our gospel a bit today, kind of how do they work together? Do they work together? How do we think about political systems in light of the gospel? How do we think of the gospel in light of the fact that we live in the midst of political systems? Well, our esteemed panelists grappled with the violence and the pain, the exploitation, the evil, which is apparent in our world, and how it grows alongside those who sacrifice for the common good, those who give of themselves for the thriving of their communities and their fellow humans. And it reminded me of the parable that Jesus tells of the wheat and the tares, that these two grow up together, and at the last, they'll be sorted out by God's angels. His staff will take care of it, that we're told not to take care of it. But we want to take care of it. We like to meddle in these things. But as you might suspect, the complexities and nuance of the circumstances that were discussed a few days ago in this panel, these politics and religion, the complexities of not only the circumstances, but you add to that the complexity of human choice and perspective, it offers us anything but easy solutions. I suppose if it were easy, we would have figured this out a long time ago. But we're still grappling with it, several millennia on. Jesus said, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's," or as I always hear this text in my head, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." We might assume that the delineation of these particular things of which Jesus speaks might be fairly straightforward. Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar, to God the things that are God. These things. He doesn't really define these things for us. He leaves that hard work to us. Give these things to Caesar or to God. And of course, it might seem particularly straightforward, but as the panelists, Bishop Rofe, speaking on behalf of the church, at least her perspective from the church, and historian John Meacham, speaking from the historic perspective, at least his understanding of the historicity of things, they reminded me, and I think everybody there, that it's not quite that simple, the delineation of these things. It's tough work. It's complex. Why? Well, there's a number of ways to answer the why, but one of the things I want to offer for us to think about this morning is what we might work out in theory often looks very different than what actually occurs in practice. What we work out in theory, well, let's render unto these things unto God and these things unto Caesar. We can make a good list, two columns. Well, it's easy to write the list, and then the actual practice of it becomes much more complex and difficult. You see, our struggles with sin, they introduce troublesome variables when rendering things between God and Caesar. And I know as good Christians, we would ultimately come up with this conclusion. It all belongs to God. So when we're rendering, it all belongs to God. My money, my gifts, my family, my very life, it all belongs to God. And that's true. And it looks nice on paper. At first glance, it seems simple mathematics. It all belongs to God. I need to render to God really all of these things because they belong to Him and I belong to Him. And it looks like simple math to write this down. But once our passions and sin and our wills and various perspectives are factored into things, simple mathematics all of a sudden becomes Boolean differential calculus. Does anyone even know what Boolean differential calculus is? It sounds impressive. It is impressive. I have no idea, but I like the word Boolean, which is why I use this. I know I can't do it. And so what seems pretty easy on paper, once worked out in this melting pot of the world, becomes crazy and difficult. From Bonhoeffer, The Cost of Discipleship, to Pilgrim's Progress, Lewis's Pilgrim's Regress, the realities of discipleship prove to be more challenging than the memorizing of tidy pages describing life in God's kingdom. And we should memorize them. They help us along the way. It describes for us what should be. But it's not so easy. As Linda Ronstadt sweetly crooned, it's so easy to fall in love. It is, but then talk to me in about 8 months. It's easy to fall in love. It's harder than to walk it out. It's easy to think, this is what I'm going to render to God or to Caesar, and then the walking out of that becomes much more muddied. Well, thinking of mud, I love this time of year, although we haven't had very much rain, and I love hiking. I love hiking even in the rain. Love getting out into nature, getting quiet, the beauty of the environment, my surroundings. And for those of you who have ever taken longer hikes, it can be helpful to look at a map of the route which you're going to take. Because once you're in the midst of the trees or wherever you are, it can often be difficult to discern your bearings. Where exactly am I? So we look at the route ahead of time, but out on the trail, sometimes we wonder, am I going the right direction? And we begin to look for markers on the way. An easy example of this are the various trails at the Warner Parks. You know, they paint the little rectangles on the trees. It says, ah, there's a rectangle. That's the way I'm supposed to go, even though I'm not quite sure if that would be right. So, markers along the way. The character and nature of God, the goodness of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the scriptures which illuminate both the character of God and the gospel for us, the sacraments, our own faith community. These are markers along our journey of discipleship. They help point the way. When we lose our bearings and we are wondering, how do I render these things to Caesar or to God? It's being reminded of this. This is our journey. This is our way as we sojourn in this world, the ultimate things of the goodness of the gospel. They're important because they right our gaze. They warn us of pitfalls, of false trails. They also encourage us to take heart that the journey's worth it. Keep going. I've been on long hikes before, and it's like, oh man, I just want to give up. And then there's a marker that says, this is the way, and it buoys my spirit. Let's keep going. It's worth it. The journey's worthwhile. Well, since I've heard this panel discussion several days ago, and I've been thinking about this gospel text, this rendering to Caesar and unto God's the things that are that belong to them, I've begun to see that they are helpful markers for me along the way. Just the hearing of this story from the gospel. Rendering these things unto God remind me then of my true identity as belonging to God. My life hidden in Christ, as Paul will say so often. It does provide hope for my journey to keep going. The beautiful promise of Christ's presence with us. Even when it's difficult, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which we can take as the times that we live in often. Right now, the headlines are pretty dark. The valley's dark at the moment. Christ with us, providing the markers along the way. But as I also think about rendering these things unto Caesar, and sorry, I'm not going to do the work for you. I'm not going to tell you what those things are. Do you know why? The minute I did that, I'm going to make some of you incredibly angry. Because it's these passions, these perspectives, and our own context brings to bear what things belong where. And you've got the Holy Spirit to help guide you, and we've got community to continue to talk about how we work these things out. Again, it's not so easy as putting them down on paper. But thinking about the things that we render unto Caesar, it reminds me that we indeed are involved in an unfolding adventure of earthly discipleship. You've heard the phrase, the things not yet and the things that will be, or whatever. The things that are and the things that will be. We're in the things that are right now. We're in this earthly discipleship, right? The things of Caesar are these temporal modes of operating within a world where billions of people with their own passions, perspective, and persuasions are walking this trail from the cradle to the grave. And we bump up against one another. But the things of Caesar are temporary. We just sang it in this hymn. The towers, they turn to dust, right? They turn to dust. And we build them because we're rendering these things which we think are important unto Caesar. The interplay of the church and civil society. It is our calling as followers of Christ to not disappear from the world, but to engage this interplay of the world that we live in as witnesses of the gospel. And just very quickly, a reminder of the baptismal covenant affirms our belief in this. our belief in the triune God, and that it points the way for the journey. It says, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and the fellowship? You're doing this together. Remember the things that bind you together. Remember the sacraments and prayer. Let them mark your way. Keep resisting evil, it says, but when you take a false trail, when you submit to your own passions and sin and selfishness, acknowledge your sin and turn to the Lord, turn back to Christ, get back on the trail. The world needs you. Live as a witness to the good news in this world. Love others, respect others, in the reality that often in the world people see things very differently than you do. Always couch the love and respect of others in the fact that they are the beloved of God too, even though I might disagree vehemently with them. Help me learn to love and offer them the dignity as humans that they deserve. It doesn't mean that I have to agree, but help me not to return evil for evil. And as we say with each one of these things in the baptismal covenant, we only do it with God's help. I will with God's help. I will with God's help. When the markers of Christ are obscured on our journey and our own sin and selfish desires and passions hold sway, it may very well be that sometimes the things that belong to Caesar will aid us in our journey. Again, this quote from Niebuhr: the sad duty of politics is to establish justice in a sinful world. Easy on paper, hard to live out. Let me conclude by offering this prayer from our Book of Common Prayer. It is the collect for the human family. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.